So this morning, I want to continue with part two of Power of the Soul. My objective is for all of us to realize and recognize that we are spiritual beings in a human body. That you have contact with the spirit realm all the time. And so one reason why I speak on this topic is because I've battled with some of these things myself. How does this all work? For example, when people say, you're a spiritual being, I always said, yeah, but I have a body. I'm really a physical person, has a spirit. But going back to the time when God created Adam, I believe God created Adam, he lay on the ground, made him a dust of the earth, lay on the ground, and I believe his heart was beating. He was completely finished, completely done. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It says he breathed into a living soul. And that's when he began to think. He got up. He could walk. In other words, he was kind of like a person on life support. That's what I envisioned, because when he created things, he said it was very good. So I'm assuming he didn't forget the heart. I think he had the heart in there. So I visualize him breathing, but not having a mind. And he breathed a life into him, it says a living soul. So a question that I've asked myself sometimes is, how can I, if I'm a human body, if I'm a human person, have a living soul, a living spirit, and how can my spirit communicate with the heavenlies? How does that work? And I also want to talk about how the soul, the mind, and the spirit is two separate things. That has helped me a lot to clarify how this works, because if I think of, I have a soul and a soul is spirit, the soul is not born again. Your spirit is born again, and your soul is renewed on a daily basis. Be transformed by the transforming of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. That happens in our mind. The mind is part of the soul. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, so they that pray to him in spirit. It's a spiritual thing. We can't see it. We can't grab a hold of a prayer and say, there's a prayer going up to heaven. I see it going up. No, it's a spiritual. And then where are our thoughts coming from? Our thoughts are coming from our mind. Our mind has the capacity to think. We're created in God's image, and I think that our mind or our soul part is in God's image. So when you die, only your soul goes into eternity. Your body stays here. And so when I look at you and I say, that's who you are, I'm talking about your soul. You think, you have a character, you have a personality. That's all part of the soul that God has given each individual person. So when we speak in tongues, we don't speak out of our mind. It goes from our born-again spirit to the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, not my mind. My spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive or inactive. So I always say the speaking tongues is the only pure form of prayer. All of our other prayers are limited by what we know, what we have learned, and our mind interferes. Like one person said before, after the first service, said, praying in tongues is the only prayer that Satan cannot hear, because it goes from spirit to spirit. I haven't studied to that a lot, so I'm not sure about that, but where it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive because it does not understand what my spirit is praying. Verse 15, then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. It says in the Amplified Version. And I will pray with my mind using words I understand. So this morning when I prayed, that was with my mind. I was thinking. If I am spirit-filled, if I am communicating with the Holy Spirit, And the Spirit can give me words as I pray, but my mind is included. So I can pray with my spirit or with my mind, using words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, and I will sing with the mind, using words I understand. So this morning when he sang, we had words on the screen. Then we sing with our mind. So our mind and spirit aren't the same. I believe we are much more spiritual beings than we realize. I believe a lot of our battles that we fight in this life, it can be between people. It can even be physically. Our spiritual issues. The question is, how many of them? Which ones? We don't understand the spirit realm to that extent. So if I'm a spiritual person having a physical body, why am I tempted or why do I have bad thoughts? Because my mind in itself is not born again. In fact, it says my carnal mind is enmity against God. They're opposite. They don't mix. And when Adam sinned, our mind became polluted. Up to that point, he had a clear heaven, open heaven. He could talk to God like we talk to people. It says in the cool of the day, they would talk to each other. So everything changed when they ate of that tree, which they were not supposed to eat of. And they understood right and wrong. Most of our life, if we want to be honest, is battling between right and wrong. Is this right? Is this wrong? Am I thinking correctly? Am I not thinking correctly? Do I understand the Word of God correctly? Is this wrong? We always have these questions. Am I correct in what I think? Even when I speak, I have that question. Am I thinking correctly? Have I heard the Holy Spirit correctly? So we all have that battle. So for me, when I separate the spirit and the soul, or the spirit and the mind, that's when things become clear to me, how life works. The Holy Spirit never sins. It's born again. It never sins. However, our mind can. We can have a soulish thought or soulish behavior. The body, we understand. We can see the body. We say we recognize you by your body, and that's good. But I believe the spiritual side of us is probably more real than we realize. When I listen to people who have died and come back, they say, when my spirit left the body, my mind was clearer than it had ever been in life. I could see clearly, I could think clearly, everything became crystal clear. Colors were crystal clear, everything changed. So now we see through our glass darkly, like it says. So we are spiritual beings. And when I say spiritual, we as a church and church refer to spiritual as godly. But if you listen to other people, they will often say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not Christian. I'm spiritual, but God isn't necessarily my God. I have another spirit or I have another thing that I worship. Could be a tree, it could be an eagle, it could be a rock. They have different things they worship. So they're very spiritual, but not necessarily wholly spiritual. And so a few months ago when Pastor Peter was here from Africa, he talked about when they started their church that had people coming to church one Sunday and then they wouldn't come back. Then other people came. They had lots of people coming, but they never came back. And so he went to the Lord and asked, what is going on? Why aren't people coming back? They would go visit them and encourage them to come back, but they wouldn't come back. Then God showed them there was a witch right beside the church. A witch is very spiritual, right? Very spiritual. They know a lot about spirits. They cast spirits. They know a lot about spirits. So they had this witch beside the church, and so they began to pray. They just began to pray hours a day. That was their main job, you could say, their main objective was to pray and let God work in the spiritual realm, because they realized that people weren't coming back was a spiritual issue, not a human issue. So they prayed and prayed for hours and hours and hours. And all of a sudden, this witch's house burnt down and moved. And people came to church and they stayed at church. They said, oh, that was a spiritual battle. It wasn't a physical battle. And I am of the belief today that a lot more of our battles in life, maybe almost all of them, are spiritual. Anything that you can pray about has a spiritual element to it. It could be your vehicle. So we are spiritual beings who have a capacity to hear spirits and walk by the Spirit. But when I say spiritual, to be spiritually minded, I'm talking about holy spiritual minded, not the unholy spirits. But many people nowadays will say, I'm very spiritual. Then we need to ask, what spirit? The spirit of Jesus Christ or another spirit? So your body basically exposes, my body exposes what I believe. If you watch me throughout life, you will know almost perfectly what I believe. If I believe in honor, respect, if I believe in swearing at you, those are all things that come out. So we're all known by through what we see in our body. So like as I told a few weeks ago, I think when God created Adam, he was complete. God breathed life into him. And when he breathed life into him, he began to think, and we have the capacity to think like God thinks. Now, I want to say that carefully because we can go too far on that, but we're never going to be God, never equal with God, not even close. But he made us in his image. And according to the word of God, we can hear him and understand him and be guided by him. So that part is a godly character, that we can hear him. So his body was complete. But then how could Adam and Eve sin? Being completely perfect, having an open heaven, could talk to God like we're talking to each other, how could they sin? Were they tempted? No, they weren't. They weren't just tempted, they were deceived. So there was a snake that talked to them, representing Satan, and they listened to the snake, and they said, we could be smarter. We can know right and wrong like God does. Well, that would be nice to know right and wrong. But once they did, it all fell apart. They died spiritually. It all fell apart. And from that point on, you and I are battling between the right and wrong. We are still to this day trying to find the peace that we were created to carry within us. That's like Adam and Eve did in the beginning. That's what you and I were created for. So we're kind of like a fish out of water the way we live our lives. So he could be deceived. That means his mind was separate. His mind and Eve's mind could be deceived as perfect people. So we as Christians, even though we live a holy life, the best we know how, we can still be deceived. That's an interesting thought. We can even sin. So they were deceived. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Minded means that's our lifestyle, not a thought. That's a spike. But to spiritually mind, that's how we think. Not in the last few days, but in the last year. So if I'm in the Word continually and I'm communicating with God continually and I'm committing my life to the Lord and I'm living a clean life. I repent of my sin every day. I'm living a clean life. Then I'm spiritually minded because I think constantly of spiritual things. I'm spiritually minded. And when we're spiritually minded, then the Holy Spirit has access to us and speaks to us. Our mind makes decisions. Then we can pray, God is my thought. In alignment with your thoughts. Let's say one of you boys want to marry a girl. You say, I really like that girl. I think I'll take her out. And she's so beautiful. And look at her. And you just memorize. Then you should pray, God, is this what you have for me? If you think about her too long, the praying kind of goes out the window because your emotions get too high. But just pray about it. God, is this who you have for me? Before you get too emotionally involved. and say, God, is this what I need in my life? See, you have a thought. Now you invite the Holy Spirit to infiltrate your thought. If you're spiritually minded, that'll happen automatically. We will pray about things that we think about every day, throughout the day. So my mind in itself is not spiritual. That's why we have to be renewed. That's why we have to renew our mind. But if we are living spiritually minded life, then our mind is generally correct. We're also told to try the spirits. There's a lot of spirits that we need to listen to. Even when you're born again. It says in 1 John 4:1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets or many spirits are gone out into the world. So I envision it this way. If I'm sitting in my chair and in the morning having my devotions, I envision the spirits around me wanting to talk to me. There's holy spirits and there's unholy spirits. If I'm living a carnal-minded life, then the evil spirits have access to my brain. I will allow them in because they're in line with what I'm thinking. If I'm holy or spiritually minded, then I will invite the spiritual voice into my life. We can never say the devil made me do it, because things are choices. And we are able to make choices. So our mind is able to have sinful thoughts, even though we are born again. Otherwise, a big part of the New Testament wouldn't be written. So how does the Holy Spirit lead? If we're spiritual beings and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead, how does he lead? Well, first of all, we have to recognize his voice. All of the principles are in the Bible. You can read the Bible and you can understand the principles. But on a daily basis, your things that you do in life, on a daily basis, you have to first hear the Holy Spirit. Recognize that it's his voice, because we have many voices. Recognize that it's his voice and then follow it. Then you're spirit-led. We like to say we go to a spirit-led church. What does that mean? It means we are as spirit-led as we allow ourselves to be spirit-led. You can't go to spirit-led church and now you're spirit-led. No, it's all individual. So as I learn to walk with the Spirit, I become more and more spirit-led. 1 John 3:9 says, Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin. So this verse can be puzzling. We just read that our spirit, this born-again spirit, never sins. It's completely holy and righteous. And here it says, that spirit cannot sin. The Holy Spirit will never sin. Any sin that you do is of the evil spirit. It says, because he has been born of God. The seed is the Holy Spirit, is God himself in us. That's the seed. And then, for example, verses like Romans 3, verse 23 says, for we all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Now we're saying the opposite. It cannot sin, and now it says we have all sinned. In my mind, my soul has all sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, we became people who are dealing with sin on a daily basis. And it says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we can never say that our soul is pure. However, our mind can be pure. It can also be impure. A person that's into stuff that he shouldn't be has an impure mind. I only sin when the evil spirit is allowed into me, into my mind. Or mind in itself is not righteous. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind, not the spiritual mind, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it has not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So a carnal mind, allowing the carnal thoughts to live in us, it says, God and him are oil and water. It doesn't work. And so then we have to admit that when we do sin, it's not from the Holy Spirit. Even though you consider yourself to be a Spirit-led person, that part of sinning is not from the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. How do we do that? How do we nail our passions to the cross? Well, first of all, we choose to follow the Holy Spirit and not the evil spirit or not the flesh. It's a decision that we make. And then as we learn to walk by the Holy Spirit, we constantly get fed from the Holy Spirit. And our mind learns to deny the wrong and receive the right. That's how it's done. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In other words, since we have the Holy Spirit living in us, why don't you learn to live every day in every area of your life through the Holy Spirit? This verse also implies that it need not happen. It's not automatic. We have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. So God is a spirit, like I said before, and we can only worship him in spirit. All prayers are spiritual. You can't see them. And then a verse that was read yesterday already, Ephesians 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And then in the Amplified, it says, beings without bodies, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we tend to think that the world is out there and we are Christians. But the battle is up here. The battle is right up here between your ears. Well, that's why I say I believe a lot of the battles in life, maybe all of them, I'm not sure, but definitely most of them are spiritual battles. We see them as physical, but they're not. I want to talk more about that next week. So it happens in our mind, within us. That's where the battle is. And if I see issues between people as human issues, then I will fight on a human level. If I see my spiritual battles, I will pray about it. And we could use a ton of verses to talk about that. But some versions use, the Holy Spirit is a person without a body. Just like demons, they're spirits without bodies. So I just envision myself, like I said before, when I sit in the morning and I pray to God, there's all these demons around me, all these angels around me, all these good spirits around me. And those that my heart is open to, come in. That's why it's so important to be spiritually minded. It's a way of living. And I think most of you do exactly that. I'll ask the team to come up for a closing song. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So our mind can be righteous and holy. I'll skip a few verses here that I had planned to read. Next Sunday, I want to go a little deeper into 3 John 1, verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. This verse tells me there's a lot more to the spirit world than what we think. And your soul is your way of thinking, how you see God, how you see yourself. And I'm going to talk more about that next Sunday. What does a healthy, prosperous soul look like? Now, in closing, I want to read one more verse. Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you faithful, who also will do it. So we have a God of peace, not a God of turmoil. When you listen to the news, there's a lot of turmoil. You so easily got sidetracked with the news today. That's why I, for years, didn't watch the news, because it created turmoil in my mind. I couldn't take it. It almost took my faith away. It took my peace away. And he says, may the God of peace sanctify you. Not the God of turmoil or confusion or depression or hopelessness or fear, but the God of peace sanctify you. And my prayer is that all of us could learn to accept that on a daily basis. Each morning when you get up, allow the peace of God to create a whole person, soul, mind, and body. It takes a lot of time for us to get there, and we may never get there fully in this side of heaven, honestly. But that's our desire, to become whole as a person, that our soul become whole, healthy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're the God of peace. Teach us, Lord, what that means. Teach us, Lord, that confusion and hopelessness does not come from you, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. And Lord, as we have these feelings and these emotions in our lives, help us to separate and to distinguish, what are the spirits that are alive in me? What am I inviting on a daily basis? Teach us what it means to be spiritually minded at all times, every day. To be grafted in permanently. God, you're a good father, and we're your children. Lord, one day we will see you face to face. But at this point, while we're still on soil and earth, Lord, we pray for revelations to make things clear in our mind, how they work, how your spirit works, how you work, your character. That we could walk in peace, and that the fruits of the Spirit would at all times be evident in our lives, because we've been with you. They're not fruits of self trying to make it happen, but they're the fruits of being with you. So teach us how to be with you on a daily basis, to the point where these fruits would be, every day would be evident in our lives. God, we worship you. We love you. And we love to be your children. Teach us how to walk in faith when we don't see, to be at peace when we don't know for sure, you're a good father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.